President Reagan is spending the Thanksgiving holiday weekend in the seclusion of his California ranch, leaving members of his staff to deal with questions from an inquiring press. The FBI and Justice Department now are trying to find out just how much money from the Iran arms sales was diverted to the Contras. The man who allegedly ran the secret operation is out, but many experts say they doubt he acted without orders. Among the unanswered questions, who gave those orders, and just how high did the chain of command go?
Last Friday, after becoming concerned whether my national security apparatus had provided me with a security or a complete factual record with respect to the implementation of my policy toward Iran, I directed the Attorney General to undertake a review of this matter over the weekend and report to me on Monday. And yesterday, Secretary Meese provided me and the White House Chief of Staff with a report on his preliminary findings.
A grim-faced President Reagan acknowledged his secret Iranian arms deal had taken a bizarre and disturbing new twist.
And this report led me to conclude that I was not fully informed on the nature of one of the activities undertaken in connection with this initiative. This action raises serious questions of propriety.
The action, a secret scheme that funneled $10 to $30 million from the Iranian transaction to the U.S.-backed Contras in Nicaragua. The money was put in Swiss bank accounts by Israeli go-betweens.
They, in turn, transferred to the CIA, which was the agent for the United States government under a finding prepared by the president, signed by the president in January of 1986. And incidentally, all of these transactions that I'm referring to took place between January 1986 and the present time.
The president said National Security Advisor John Poindexter was not directly involved, but was resigning. NSC staffer Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, the chief White House contact with the Contras, has been relieved of his duties.
The only persons in the United States government that knew precisely about this, the only person, was Lieutenant Colonel North. Admiral Poindexter did know that something of this nature was occurring, but he did not look into it further.
What about CIA Director Casey?
CIA Director Casey, Secretary of State Shultz, Secretary of Defense Weinberger, myself, the other members of the NSC, none of us knew.
You said that Poindexter knew. Do you mean he approved of it?
No. Admiral Poindexter knew generally that something of this nature was happening. He did not know the details.
He did not try to stop it, though?
I don't know precisely when he learned it. He knew of it sometime during last year.
He did not try to stop it, sir.
Let me ask you this.
The Justice Department says it discovered the scheme and is now looking into possible criminality.
Did what Colonel North do? Is that a crime? Will he be prosecuted?
We are presently looking into the legal aspects of it as to whether there's any criminality involved. The first thing triggered, if you will, an inquiry was the fact that as people prepared their testimony, because this had been done in a rather compartmentalized way, as people prepared their testimony for the Hill on Friday, there were certain things where there appeared to be more facts out there than we had already put together. And it was a matter then of the president requesting me to talk with everyone who had any participation at all, because one agency was doing one thing, another agency was doing another thing, there was very little paperwork, and to determine precisely what all of the facts were, because he wanted to be sure that he had all of the information about anything that may have occurred in the course of this whole situation.
It is probably the lowest moment of the Reagan presidency and raises serious questions about where he goes from here. To begin with, Mr. Reagan has ordered a special review board to look into the role of the National Security Council, but he's still not willing to call his Iranian arms deal a mistake.
As I've stated previously, I believe our policy goals toward Iran were well-founded. However, the information brought to my attention yesterday convinced me that in one aspect, implementation of that policy was seriously flawed.
You didn't make a mistake, Mr. President.
Hold it.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No, and I'm not taking any more questions in just a second. I'm going to ask Attorney General Meese to brief you on what we presently know of what he has found out.
Is anyone else going to be let go, sir? Is anyone else going to be let go?
No one was let go. They chose to go.
What about Secretary Schultz, sir? Can you give Secretary Schultz a vote of confidence if you feel that way?
Can I give you, Attorney General Meese?
And what about Civil Service?
Attorney General Meese says no further resignations have been contemplated or are expected.
Officials here say they're already working on strategy to get the president back to business. But one aide concedes there's no way of knowing where all these investigations will lead. And the controversy surrounding the president's secret arms deal with Iran is far from over.
I find it hard to believe that Colonel North, who is a military man schooled in the chain of command, would have acted on his own.
I'm deeply troubled that the implementation of a policy aimed at resolving a truly tragic situation in the Middle East has resulted in such controversy.
Weapons in the hands of Contra rebels were apparently paid for indirectly by Iran. It reportedly paid huge premiums for some 2,500 U.S. missiles. How much more did Iran pay than the arms were worth?
Our estimate is that it is somewhere between $10 and $30 million.
How did that money get to the Contras at a time when direct U.S. aid to the rebels was banned by Congress?
Bank accounts were established, as best we know, by representatives of the forces in Central America, and this information was provided to representatives of the Israeli government, and the funds were there, or representatives of Israel, I should say, and then these funds were put into the accounts.
According to Israeli and congressional sources, the money for the deal apparently moved from one Swiss bank account to another. Iran's premier apparently authorized transfers from Iran's bank account to that of his friend, a private Iranian arms dealer. He, in turn, was dealing closely with a private Israeli arms merchant. Some investigators believe money from the Iranian dealer's bank account went into that of the Israeli. From there, they say, some of the money apparently went to a CIA account. Other amounts went to an account controlled by Adolfo Calero, a Contra leader. The CIA paid back the Pentagon for the missiles. Money left over went through Calero to the Contras. Calero denies any knowledge of secret bank accounts.
We have denied it categorically. We have no Swiss bank account, as we've said before. We do not have any of the alleged money.
During Watergate, investigators used the motto, follow the money. But this time, it may not be that easy to follow the money as the Justice Department looks into the Iranian affair. House and Senate leaders heard of the news firsthand from the president at a White House briefing. They were flabbergasted.
It was a shocking revelation, and it further shows up the chaotic state of our foreign policy.
I think the Reagan administration has to understand they cannot abuse the democracy here at home and the laws here at home in order to foster or promote democracy abroad.
The president's fellow Republicans were inclined to look to the future, even as they criticized the White House actions.
I think it's an unfortunate circumstance. Obviously, I think could have been prevented. In our meeting with the president this morning, and I'm sure Sam will acknowledge this as well, the president insists that this isn't going to happen again.
I think this, the president was very forthcoming on this. As soon as he had the information, he released it.
Clearly, there will be congressional hearings, many of them, public investigations. Among the questions, were laws violated, particularly the Arms Export Control Act, which restricts the sale of weapons to third countries, and the Boland Amendment, which prohibited military aid to the Contras. The Arms Export Control Act requires that Congress be notified if more than $14 million worth of U.S. weapons are sold to another country. Spokesmen for the administration's own Defense Department say the amount was more than that. A Defense Department spokesman confirmed that the U.S. shipments included more than 2,000 anti-tank TOW missiles, each worth nearly $10,000. The TOW missiles alone would total $20 million. These same officials acknowledged that parts for anti-aircraft Hawk missiles were sent, price unknown. And there are various reports that parts were also provided for Iran's American-made jet fighters taken when the Shah's government was toppled, but most grounded for a lack of equipment. Until now, Iran's Air Force has been overwhelmed in the bitter war with Iraq, so repaired planes could be important. Various Capitol Hill sources believe that U.S. shipments alone total $50 million. They add that parts shipped from third countries like Israel could send the figure up to 100 million. The Iran operation was coordinated at the National Security Council by Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North.
I find it hard to believe that Colonel North, who is a military man schooled in the chain of command, would have acted on his own.
There is widespread feeling, particularly among Democrats, that inquiries by the Edmeese Justice Department and a White House-appointed commission aren't enough. Some insist that a special prosecutor is needed.
Attorney General Meese and others who are part of the formulation of this policy, part of the overall politics of the White House, cannot be the ones to clear the air, no matter what their good intent or goodwill. And it's like having the fox guarding the chicken coop.
In fact, Democratic Congressman David Bonnier wants an investigation into President Reagan's personal role.
For me and for us to believe that he did not know of some of the illegal activities that were going on to fund the Contras during this period in which the law prohibited it stretches credulity, I think.
A Republican senator cautioned against turning this into a partisan issue.
As far as 535 members periodically jumping up and trying to give their own solution to this tragic situation, I would think we'd be better advised to cool it for a while.
There will be proposals to make the National Security Council more accountable.
I don't think that one or two scapegoats is necessarily the answer to this whole matter.
Several senators and congressmen made it clear that they believe the White House disclosures might ultimately endanger aid to the Nicaraguan Contras.
I'll bet you that that it's going to be a cold day in Washington, D.C. before any more money goes into Nicaragua.
But most worried aloud about the country. We cannot, said one Democratic senator, have a crippled president for the next 2 years.
Israel was caught off balance by White House assertions concerning its role in what some here are calling the Iranian arms scandal. There is concern in Jerusalem that the affair may seriously affect this country's image in the United States, and Israeli leaders are moving quickly to clear themselves of any wrongdoing. Following a late-night meeting in Jerusalem, Israeli leaders presented their version of this country's involvement in U.S. arms shipments to Iran.
The government of Israel confirms that it helped transfer defensive arms and spare parts from the U.S. to Iran upon the request of the United States.
The Israelis flatly denied they diverted between $10 million and $30 million in arms sale proceeds to Swiss bank accounts belonging to the Nicaraguan Contra rebels.
The payment for this equipment was made directly by an Iranian representative to a Swiss bank in accordance with instructions from the American representative.
In a fiery appearance in Parliament, Foreign Minister Shimon Peres brushed aside demands from left-wing parties for an official inquiry. Peres praised President Reagan's concern for American lives and said Israel agreed to help the U.S. on moral grounds and not for profit. But Peres declared the arms shipments were America's affair and not Israel's.
The money clearly went to an account that was given by the United States representatives to the Iranians. It didn't pass through Israel, and Israel didn't have any role whatsoever in it.
Still, Israel's middleman role in the arms transfers has put a dent in relations with Washington.
We're going through a crisis now due to the problem that the United States found itself with hostages.
We haven't been told the truth. We've asked. What we got as a response was clumsy denials.
Renaud and others feel the United States dealt unfairly with Israel.
I believe that there is a very big amount of hypocrisy in what is said now.
In the aftermath of Attorney General Meese's accusations, Israel's reaction has remained cool and dignified and overtly friendly to the United States. But behind closed doors, things are different. An Israeli cabinet minister told CNN that he and many of his colleagues fear that someone in the Reagan administration is trying to place the blame on Jerusalem for problems that were created and should be solved in Washington.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Tell us a little bit about this North supposedly shredding paper.
I know nothing of that. Absolutely nothing. I can't comment on that.
But does it seem preposterous to you?
I have no idea. I mean, I read the story the same as you in the paper.
A besieged President Reagan received an especially warm and reassuring embrace from the First Lady, who'd flown ahead for the Thanksgiving weekend in California. But there was no escaping the most serious controversy of Mr. Reagan's presidency. Accompanying him for the weekend, acting National Security Advisor Alton Keel and Chief of Staff Donald Regan, the president named a three-member special review board to investigate his National Security Council and allegations that millions of dollars from the U.S.-Israel-Iran arms deal were funneled to Nicaraguan rebel bank accounts.
So far, the only thing that they have asked me to do is to chair this board or commission to review the practices and the procedures of the NSC staff. I will see the president on Monday and get my mandate from him then.
Former National Security Advisor Brent Scowcroft and former Senator and Secretary of State Edmund Muskie will also be on the board. Presidential aides say Mr. Reagan intends to sign an executive order giving the commission carte blanche for its investigation. In connection with its own inquiry, sources say the Justice Department has talked to the President, Vice President, Secretary Shultz and Weinberger, and CIA Director Casey, among others. Publicly, however, the President isn't saying anything. Before leaving the White House, he received the traditional Thanksgiving turkey and barely looked at reporters. The biggest questions, who knew what and when? United Press International quotes an unidentified White House official who says Reagan did know about the diversion of funds to the Contras.
No, that's ridiculous. I was not briefed thoroughly on all of this. Never heard of it before until the news came out on Monday about what was happening with the Iranian money and the Contras.
What do you think the motivation is trying to tie you so tightly to
mine? I have no idea. No idea whatsoever.
Is this a signal of some sort of division within the White House?
No, I would have no idea. I mean, I don't know where the story came from. How can you comment on an unnamed source?
So you were not briefed weekly or monthly or regularly or even often?
No. Mm-mm. Nope.
How was it?
Do you all enjoy your Thanksgiving?
How about you?
Sounds to me like I'm the turkey.
The situation has been further complicated by reports that Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, fired from the National Security Council, destroyed vital documents before his departure. Officials will neither confirm or deny the story. The elusive North was seen at his home and wasn't talking either.
I can't make a statement now. When the time is appropriate, I will give all the facts to the appropriate forum. And I will do so under the advice of my counsel.
Nonetheless, North went to the White House Thanksgiving morning, tried to get in, but according to a spokesman for the Secret Service, was turned away because he didn't have a valid pass. One official says North has now been placed on the do not admit list. Presidential aides say if North destroyed anything official, it's not lost.
I do know that national security documents are not in the possession of just one person. There are copies of them, and there is a central file. And that's not under, that's under close supervision, so there'll be no chance that those would be missing.
One source who knows North describes him as very secretive, not the kind of man to keep extensive or incriminating personal notes in his office. But, says the source, we probably will never know precisely what Ollie did. As the president spends Thanksgiving weekend at his ranch with his family, his top aides continue to distance themselves from the controversy while pledging cooperation with the Justice Department's widening criminal probe.
I'm back out here, but the Attorney General has brought in senior Department of Justice officials, the FBI, and this is a normal procedure. We want to have out in the open anything of a wrongdoing. Remember, the first we heard of this was Monday. And Monday afternoon is when the president first got the information that there had been wrongdoing. By Tuesday morning, he had it all out and had made his statement. So whenever there is something wrong, we want it to come out.
But there is a lot that is not out in the open, with new questions about documents possibly destroyed, and who knew what and when. The White House and Congress will begin picking apart the Iran arms deal and the Nicaraguan connection next week. But already, fundamental questions are being asked about the Reagan White House. Who's in charge? How much does the president really know? One source with close ties to the National Security Council claims the NSC is being set up to take the rap for a bad policy gone awry.
support the
Tuesday, Attorney General Edwin Meese said Oliver North, fired from the National Security Council, was the only person in government with precise knowledge of the cash transfer. Meese claimed Admiral John Poindexter, who has quit as the president's national security advisor, had some knowledge, though he never looked into it. Then there is the issue of authorization. A key figure in the initial American overtures to Tehran is former National Security Advisor Robert McFarlane. He said Wednesday he had assumed that the channeling of arms sales money to the Contras was a matter of approved policy, sanctioned by higher authority. Zbigniew Brzezinski, Jimmy Carter's National Security Advisor, on the role of Oliver North.
But I find it highly improbable that a lieutenant colonel trained in the Marines, a very disciplined organization, would do something quite as monumental as this entirely on his own.
Oliver North has been set up in print. There were stories in the New York Times by responsible journalists who were spoon-fed, who were attempting to discredit North before the fact. He's a sacrificial lamb.
President Reagan obviously hopes the appointment of a special review board will take some of the heat from the Iran arms issue. Another Reagan hope could be putting to rest an all-too-familiar question from America's past. What did the president know, and when did he know it?
Where's Helen?
Mr. President!
The fiasco, the big story this week. This is Don Miller, CNN.